Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. We're back, baby. It's a new year. We're here to have some fun. Happy January. Happy New Year to everyone out there. It's the call-in show. You got Randy and James here, and we're ready for your calls at 715-424-2600. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. It's unfortunate that we come back into a new year with nothing to talk about, Randy. There's nothing going on in sports whatsoever.
Not a single thing.
I look forward to talking with you about everything and anything that is going on out there in the sports world. It's been a while. And I have got old sports takes if we have time, because we were off the air for a while. In fact, Randy hasn't been able to join us since Thanksgiving, we were talking about in our pregame here. So there's old sports takes. We didn't get a chance to talk about one of the silliest, weirdest suspensions I've ever heard of in sports with the Jaire Alexander thing. I mean, that was weird. That was interesting. I thought the Pro Football Hall of Fame have announced their finalists and some really big names in there and some local big names for our team. So I thought that was pretty interesting. We can always talk about those things. The Pop-Tart Bowl happened. A mascot was eaten. No, I'm sorry. A mascot was toasted and then eaten.
Right. It was one of the highlights of the bowl season.
It was fantastic. I really thought that college football had an interesting thing happen with the bowl season as it is wrapping up tonight, of course, with the national championship game. Florida State, Georgia play face-off. A lot of us were wondering where that was going to go, and if Florida State were made a competitive or beat Georgia, that there would be an argument to be made, of course, that, oh, they should have been in the playoffs and everything. Fast forward to now, where they were beaten, not just beaten, but beaten worse than any team has ever been beaten in a college football game, let alone a New Year's Six game. And it was so bad that Coach Kirby Smart of the Georgia Bulldogs came out of that talking about like he had just seen a battle, like he had just seen a war. And it was all he was doing was like, we got to fix this.
Yeah.
You would have thought that was the coach that lost. But he was coming out of that. He literally looked wounded to college football. He's like, we got to fix this. This is bad.
Wasn't it like 29 Florida State players didn't suit up?
Yeah.
I mean, 29?
Yeah.
That's more than your starting squad, right?
That would be an interesting conversation, I think. We could talk about how do we fix the bowls and going forward here, how that gets fixed. The Detroit Pistons finally won a game. I didn't know if that was going to happen before we jumped on the air again. There's a lot. And that was just December, everybody. I haven't even gotten into the new year yet. And what's going on there? We've got some local big news to get to as well with our GM and head coach, Paul Peckman, joining us at 3:30 today. We'll have our fourth period then. Looking forward to talking some River Kings and talking with Coach. That's all really good. But most importantly, Randy, how have you been?
Really well. You're right. It was since Thanksgiving, and December, of course, gets a little bit busy at school, so unable to get in here. But good to be back and getting a chance to we put together a little schedule for the next 7 weeks or so for high school sports that we hope to broadcast and maybe tweak it a little bit or add a little bit here and there, but hopefully covering – gosh, four local teams, boys and girls as best we possibly can, and trying to get a couple games per week in, and then the madness of March will kick in,
yeah,
in about the third week of February. So always exciting time, and then the next thing you know, it'll be spring and we'll be able to see grass again.
Yeah, it goes so fast. Really, really can't thank you enough. You, Michael, Seth, all the work that you guys do covering these games, we really appreciate that. I can't stress that enough. We love it. I know, just as a fan, somebody who has been a fan of yours in particular, long before I worked at this radio station, let alone working with you, and the work that Michael does is awesome. Seth has been fantastic. We appreciate when Don fills in for us and is able to pitch hit. We got an amazing team, and we're able to bring these things to you because of those four individuals. Most importantly, Pam, of course, with the great scheduling she does as well. It's great work, man. We look forward to it. It's going to be a fun high school season. So we got a lot of teams to cover there, a lot of storylines to cover there that I'm really looking forward to seeing how they develop as we get into March and get closer to March. And we'll keep that going for you. Right now, let's get the phone calls. Good morning. Good afternoon. I knew it. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Boy, you're not starting to get your year out very well, are you?
Oh, that's sports. That's how the sports is going for me this year. So, how you been?
Well, it was a good weekend. I mean, obviously with some victories from Wisconsin basketball, the hockey, mm-hmm, and then for the Packers to make the playoffs, and the Bears had their chances. I mean, but I guess the one thing, Randy's been around long enough, and so have you, and with the NFL, and listening to some of the talk shows the last few weeks. I'm hoping it's not true, but do you think Barry kept his job?
Oh, yeah.
For another year?
Oh, yeah. In fact, this is kind of where I wanted to start with things, and I could be talking about any NFL team, keep in mind. But I'm saying this as a foolish romantic. I want to put that out up front. I mean, when I say foolish romantic, underline foolish like three or four times. I am a weird, foolish romantic. But we also all know that there are people that get in relationships, and they stay in the relationship because they're lazy. Because they don't, not because they're necessarily madly in love with this person, but they've been with this person for quite some time, and they're going to just stick it through. It's a lot easier than trying to find somebody else or something like that. That's an NFL owner. That's and I'm sorry to Green Bay fans, but you're no different. You're no different than every other organization. You can tell me all you want, and it is extremely cool that fans can say they own a piece of the team. But those same fans, I think the majority of them, 99% of them, if not 95% of them, understand that you're not going to be asked if you should keep Coach Barry or not. And that's where a real owner comes in. And real owners have no interest in doing anything. Anything. I don't care if you're Jerry Jones or if you are the McCaskies. They all want to sit back and just let things be. And they don't want to have to make decisions. They don't want to have to choose. You think of Jerry Jones and you think of the meddler, the guy that wants to do things. Jerry Jones doesn't want to meddle. Jerry Jones doesn't want to do that stuff. Jerry Jones wants to be known as Jerry Jones, Super Bowl champion every single year, and I don't have to do a dang thing. I already made my millions. I already worked. This is supposed to be fun for me. This is my passion. Jerry Jones is getting so much older in the last 20, 30 years, in part because he keeps trying to win that next ring, that next championship. But he, and this is probably the biggest owner in all of sports that likes to have their name out there and their face seen and everything. And even he doesn't want it. They want to just sit back and let things be. They don't want to have to make changes. So if you give them the option of, hey, they actually finished the season fairly well, no matter how they played the first 15 or I should say 13 games of the season, you end the season strong, you keep your job. And I don't see him getting fired. Outside of them having a horrible playoff game against Dallas, which could happen, and it would give you the out. Right now, the owners and the powers that be got everything they wanted and not having to make a decision. And I could be talking about the Chicago Bears. I could be talking about Green Bay with their coaching decisions that they have to make. Or the New Orleans Saints. There's a lot of teams like that in this position right now.
Well, I mean, they've made a lot. I mean, obviously Ron Rivera's already been cut. And yeah. Allen down in Allen down in Atlanta?
It doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be mean, but that man's paid millions of dollars. He could take it. Right. He was fired overnight. Like, I don't know how when that happened, but I was up at like 2 in the morning and that news broke. And I'm like, dang. did he wake up to that? Did he?
But the thing is, though, you know, I'm going to kind of push back on a little bit on your deal, like with Jerry Jones. If the Packers go into Dallas and beat Dallas next week, McCarthy's gone.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, that whole coaching staff's gone. Yeah, but I don't think he wants to do that. That involves more work. And not just work. These guys got to where they did because they won in business. You're not winning in business if every couple of years you're spending $10 to $20 million on a net coach. None of these teams are hurting for money, but I guarantee you that the next San Diego Chargers coach is not going to be Bill Belichick unless he's going to take a humongous pay cut. They're still paying the last guy. Like we think about this with players because we have the salary cap to look at and drool over. But with coaches, it's not that different. It's just not covered the same. If I'm an NFL owner, I got my millions in part because I don't believe I have millions to waste. I'm making decisions to try to win. Like not wins and losses. I mean win in the sense of like, well, I'm in the black. I'm still in the black. I'm still making money off of this franchise. That kills that with one bad decision, and that's the head coach, because you got to pay him so much money. And most of it is, it is not like the contracts with these players where you can get out of them, you can fudge or anything like that. Oh, the coaches league, they've got it all different. Their money is guaranteed. You are paying them every penny. And if you make the bad choice, you're not just paying that guy, you got to pay the new guy.
Well, I mean, I get that, but I just think with you know, obviously the Packers don't have that owner. They got, you know, they have everything. You know, they have Mark Murphy and Gutekunst. And I know Mark Murphy, he's getting, you know, he's at that point now where he's going to have to retire here soon. Mm. I think he's got, what, next year? I think one more year before he's got a, they got to find a new president. And, you know, there's been talk that, you know, that you know, they're going to heat Murphy's going to hang on to Gutekunst, hang on to LaFleur, despite, you know, what would have happened if the Packers would have made the postseason or finished strong. But, boy, I would almost want to think as Matt LaFleur, you would want to make that change because in 2 years, there's going to be a new regime possibly coming in, and you want to keep your job.
Mm-hmm. I think,
and with Barry there, you know, he's proven that he can't coach a defense. I mean, look what he did in Detroit. Look where he's been with the Rams. And I mean, it just for 15 weeks of not really having a defense, and all of a sudden now the last 2 weeks you figure it out. I just don't understand how, even if they win or lose on Sunday, they keep him.
I agree with you. As a fan, as a person watching these games, I agree with you. I also, as adults, we also know the way the business works. They got him under contract, especially, I didn't have a chance to look, but I don't know if this is his second to last year, but if he's got one more year in his contract, I almost promise you, and I only use that word when I can back it up, I almost promise you he'll be back. Because it's just so much easier. They're just going to let him fulfill his contract, and then next season they don't even have to fire or hire him, they could just move on. It's a lot easier. Right. And to be honest, with an organization that, you know, has to make those make not only those kind of decisions, but have people making these decisions thinking so much deeper and so much farther ahead than any other franchise has to. Green Bay has to make decisions on a different level. They are not dealing with the with a lot of what almost every other franchise in every other sport has, the bigger city or the metropolitan this or these kind of things. It is a modern marvel the way that franchise is run. Like, period. It is amazing. Any complaints anybody wants to have about that franchise, I wholeheartedly, you know, back you, whatever you want to say. But I will tell you, just as a sports fan and somebody who studies and watches this stuff, there's no organization in the whole world that is run like that organization. And you can make the argument run better. Regardless of if they win a franchise, a Super Bowl in the next 20 years, I'll say that. Like, things can change, of course, but the way that you look at franchises run, I don't begrudge them for making it may being easy, but I also feel like because of your fan base and because of all those factors I just said, you really should be listening to your fan base. You really, I'm not saying you do everything they tell you to, but I think that more times than not, the fan base is right. Because they pay and they care. They're passionate.
Well, and that's where I'm afraid that, you know, we might end up having a January 6th deal at Lambeau if they don't let Barry go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look at all, I mean, even on some of the Facebook stuff that you see from the Packers, everybody's just, they're done with it. And, I mean...
Well, we're going to find out.
It's so hard. I mean,
yeah, we're going to find out because this is all going to play out. We'll find out. But I will say right now, it doesn't look like it. If that's what you want, and that's what I'm seeing too. That's what I'm seeing on social media. That's what my friends have been saying for. I want to go back to a year now about Coach Barry.
Right.
We'll see how that plays out. And I'll say this too, because you know, Kyle Brandt did something over the weekend that I thought was really cool, where he did this like a proclamation. He was talking right to Justin Fields. And he said, look, I just want to talk right to Justin. I'm not going to tell you what I want. I'm tired of talking about you. Like, just go out there and do it. You know, make him shut up. You go out there, you win this game, you play good. All discussions are done. Just go out there and do it. And I couldn't agree with that more. That's what I would say to Coach Barry. That's what I would say to anybody who wants to keep their job in any field. Well, no pun intended.
and speaking of that, I mean, what's your opinion on that whole deal with Justin Fields? Are they going to let him go? Are they going to trade that first pick and get more picks? Or
I will say I will CC what I was saying earlier. that they are going to do the exact whatever the easiest thing for them to do is, and they still got them under contract. They've got Justin under contract. They've got Eberflus under contract. What these coaches and these last names nowadays? What happened to Smith and Jones? I say as a mail off. I say with a weird last name.
Right.
They're going to stand pack. They may make a change at the offensive coordinator position, but I doubt it. They have to make a decision on defensive coordinator because that guy was gone before the season even really got rolling.
Right.
But they are going to stand pack. Now, what I think they should do is the exact opposite of that. I would love to. I like Justin Fields. I like him as a human being. I like him as a player. I think he's got a good career ahead of him no matter what happens to him. But I don't believe it should be in Chicago. I think he should get a fresh start somewhere, and I think you trade him for a third rounder if you're lucky, and you move on, and you grab one of these young kids, and you start over because of that contract. That is, if that happens, I will be one of the most surprised people in the world, because I don't see the Bears doing that, because, again, they're going to do whatever is easy. And Chicago won 5 out of their last 7 or 8. They went on a little bit of a run there, which is the last thing you want if you were a Bear fan. And that sounds stupid, because we should be winning for every game to win. I know how stupid that sounds, and I stand by it. Because the worst thing you can have in sports, maybe the worst thing at least in sports, mediocrity. You can be really bad, and then you can hope for next year. You can hope for a high draft pick or this or that or whatever. If you're a winning team and every year you're going into a possibly, you know, a Super Bowl run or an NBA Finals run or whatever, heck, all right, let's do this. Let's go. But if you're mediocre, if you're in mediocrity, you're stuck in the middle every draft. Every year you're given this false hope does anybody genuinely believe? I look, if we're heard in Pittsburgh, please. Pittsburgh Steelers fans, call me up. Does any of you believe that you're going to, you know, go to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl? But you call the Pittsburgh fans right now. They probably do, because they're Pittsburgh fans and they love their team. Like, it's the worst thing they can have, of being stuck in the middle, of being stuck with medium good, and that's where a lot of teams are.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you on that. So, all right, you guys have a great week, bud.
Thank you. Great talking to you. We'll talk to you next week. I wanted to get in some national championship talk too, Randy. I want to make sure to get that in before we wrap up. And of course, we are still going to be having the fourth period coming up at 3:30, where Coach and GM head coach Paul Peckman going to join us. Looking forward to that. That's going to be good. Randy, I know you had some local stuff that we were going to get to. Do you want to touch on that now?
Why don't we cover that real quick now?
Yeah, we got some time.
Yeah, let's take a look first of all at high school boys basketball from the past weekend in the Valley Conference on Friday evening. Lincoln High School lost at Wausau East 69-49. They now fall to 0-3 in the Valley. Spash is ranked number 5 in Division 1, and they improved to 12-0 and 3-0 in the conference. They mauled Merrill 71-31. Marshfield's 11-1 and also 3-0 in the Valley as they beat Brookfield Central 88-80, while Wausau West is 3-1 in conference action as they dumped DC Everest 69-59. Over in the Merriwood South, it was North versus South crossover action as the Assumption Royals fall to 4-7 on the season as they lost at home to Rib Lake 55-48 on Friday. Marathon is ranked number 2 in Division 4 and 11-0, and they pounded Prentice 70-25. In Auburndale, they improved to 11-1 as they clobbered Shawamigan 63-36. Caden Weinfurter led the way with 18 points. From the Central Wisconsin South Conference, Port Edwards junior Brendan Beck had as many points as the opposing team did.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he had 37. Rosholt had 37. The Blackhawks win it 74-37, and he had 7 3-pointers on the game. So, great game for Brendan.
Yeah.
Seventh-ranked in Division 5, Almond Bancroft is in first place in the conference as they defeated Pittsville 70-48. Quick side note, Pittsville will host Port Edwards on Thursday night. Michael Comer is going to head over there and be on the call on that one. And fifth-ranked Pacelli lost on Thursday at home to Auburndale, 61-58. Weinfurter again led Auburndale with 21 points, while Logan Mayer poured in 20 for the Cardinals. And down in the South Central, Nakusa came up just a bit short at home against Westfield, 57-51. While the Dells and Mawson are tied for first place, the Dells defeated Watoma, 72-62. And Mawson had no trouble with Adams Friendship, 79-47. high school girls basketball in the Valley. In a game you heard on 105.5 FM, the Rapids girls were able to hold off Wausau East 75-70. The Raiders were led in scoring by Sydney Holberg with 19, while Gabby Nylitz had 16, and Jazz Red Cloud threw down 14, including 4 3-point balls. Spash and Marshfield, they're both 4-0 in the conference. Spash won at Merrill 80-52, while Marshfield lost at home to fifth-ranked Kimberly 53-30. From the Merrowood South, the Assumption Royals rolled past Rib Lake 75-35. They improved to 11-0 in the season. Sarah Shaw pours in 19, Jordan Jaglinski 18, and Riley Stablaski and Addie Vollard each knocked out 11. Tonight, the Royals host Neillsville. They're ranked 10th in Division 4. We'll have it for you on our sister station beginning at about 7:05. Also in the Merrowood, Auburndale's just a half game behind Assumption as they whip Shawamigan 63-11. Sydney Wolf had 11 points, while 10 others scored in single digits. In the EWC South, Port Edwards lost a close one at home to Rosholt 43-39. Nikita Boris led the Blackhawks with 9 points. Pacelli went on the road and upset fourth-ranked in Division 4, St. Mary's Catholic, 65-60. Jaden Zdroik had 33 points to lead the Cards. And Elman Bancroft was upended by Pittsville, 50-41. Reese Grimm had 21 points to pace the Panthers. And in the South Central, Nakusa falls at home to 10th-ranked in Division 4 Westfield, 80-7, while Mauston had an easy time with Adams Friendship, 61-30. In some local wrestling action at the Cheesehead Invite over in Kaukauna this past weekend, Wisconsin Rapids finished 20th out of 38 teams. Carter Freeman had the top finish for the Raiders, coming in 4th at 126. On Saturday up in Merrill, the Blue Jay Challenge was held, and the Nakusa Assumption Port Edwards Co-op took 11th place out of 26. There were actually two girls that won championships, Rylan Olson and Lexi Stofflett, while for the boys, Sawyer Ostrom took the title at 126. And in gymnastics, right here in Rapids on Saturday, the Charlie Martin Invite took place. The Raiders finished 3rd out of 7 teams. Taya Tao was able to secure 5th place with her floor routine. So lots of busy action going on in the past as well as in the future.
Thank you for that last bit of coverage right there, too. I love hearing about the gymnastics. That's some good stuff. Randy, what stands out to you out of all of that, all the information you just had there? Like, as far as high school sports, anything in particular standing out there?
You know, we're approaching the halfway mark of the basketball season, and so now you kind of get to that point where the coaches get their rotation down. You know, they know who they want to put in, and that was an interesting conversation I had with Coach Klein one night. You know, he's talking about just with eight main players that he had on his squad, and he said just kind of doing the math on that, you know, the different possible combinations that there are, it's just kind of amazing. So to kind of put that together, it's at this point in the year that happens, and then you're getting to that point where you're seeing the second go round, you know, and you get to face a team a second time. So that always proves interesting, and it's kind of good to see that we get a lot of local teams that are faring very well this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a competitive year for a lot of our local teams. You and I, we certainly know that there are kind of a lot of games to be played. There's a lot yet to come, but not only the coaches figuring out what's going on, these players building that chemistry. It's going to be really interesting to see as we get closer and you know, dribble faster and faster towards March, how this develops and how some of these local teams are coming together.
Had a couple of chances to see the Assumption girls, and that's one thing that I've been very impressed with them is the unselfishness that they make that extra pass and they get that extra layup, and they're able to use left and right hands. It wasn't that many years ago guys had difficulty using the offhand, and now girls make it look so easy. So they'll be fun to watch. It's going to be a good game tonight, and it's going to be a good game on Friday because they go over to Aquinas, and Aquinas has got a good squad as well. So this week is going to prove interesting for the Royals girls team.
We will get to our schedule before the end of the hour, but for now we're going to take a quick commercial break, take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and it's fourth period. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, joining us, coming up right here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. You got your host, James J. here. I want to apologize to our in-studio guys. Our logs are a little different right now. Things are kind of jumping around on us, so we're just going live. We're just going with it. But you guys, all my people here in this room understand how to do live. We are great improvers, so I appreciate that. I want to send a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the show. We appreciate our friends over there so much, Phil and the gang. They'll join us on Wednesday, where the Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday, in the 9 o'clock, right before the 9 o'clock hour on our morning show. Randy and James here with you, and we're welcoming in the fourth period. We have head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes, Coach Paul Peckman, with us. And Coach, you brought a friend.
I did. Right here we have Lucas Whitehead, one of our captains, top defenseman for us, and doing a great job this year.
Yeah, Lucas, thanks for being here, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And also, thank you for coming to town here, for bringing your skill set and everything else to it. We've really been enjoying you being here, man.
Oh, thank you. I love it here. It's good. Awesome.
Right on. Coach, I want to get into last night's game with you. I want to talk about the way the season is going and as we are getting to this last tail of it. But some interesting information coming over, or breaking news, over the holiday month and everything. I want to talk about this new position that you've taken.
Yeah. It's a, being the head scouting director of the Midwest for an NCDC team, which is Tier 2, which is the next step up for us. So that's the level that we try to push our guys to, that hopefully, you know, he's going to get a chance to get some looks at, you know, for next year. So it's creating that affiliation where that we can push guys up. Mm-hmm. if they have guys that maybe are on the bubble and not playing a lot, they can feed them our way, help develop them, help get them ice time, confidence, and then push them back up, that kind of thing, right? So, and if they're not ready to go there, then they go to college, and we see how we can do that, right? That's where SJ Little Comp came from and stuff like that. So it's more about us helping them and them helping us, right? So, and it's about the kids and making sure that they get as many opportunities as they can. And, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
But one way or another, these kids are going to get to play, right? So, and at the end of the day, you got to play in order to get recruited, right? You don't get recruited sitting in a stand. So that's the reason for that, really.
Hockey, sports, no different than life. Connections are vital. Connections go a long way in whatever you're doing. So this sounds like it's not only a good thing for the River Kings and a good thing for these players, but a good thing for even the USPHL. Like it sounds like on a bigger scale, like just taking a step back.
Yeah, it was important. You know, I also scout for Johnstown, right, which is in the North American Hockey League. So it was important to get connected with somebody in our league, right? So it's, again, just... You know, USPHL is a development league, quote unquote, right? So it's about building those building steps and giving kids more opportunities.
So full disclosure, and you and I are always honest with each other, whether it's on the air here or off, and I appreciate that and respect that about a relationship. But we read that news, and immediately people were like, no, he can't go. Like, immediately, Poppy, you were gone. We lost you.
That was my first words.
Yes, the first words. And so we've been a little bit of bated breath here wondering about that, because it was interesting. I heard all that, but I actually, all I had to do was talk to my dad. And my dad was like, no, he ain't going anywhere. Like, not just that's about you so much as the position and what this means, because you're already a scout. You've been scouting. And this is adding on another thing to that, right?
Right. It's just about, because of the connections and the network that I have over the world, and his dad is one of my major connections in Canada, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's just about using that, right? And now we're going to, in May, we're going to host a camp here.
Cool.
For this team.
Oh, wow. That's big. That's awesome.
So now, I mean, I have almost 750 kids already on the list.
Nice.
To get invites. So hopefully we get 150, 200 kids come to this camp, right, in May. So now now we're keeping the ice in longer, right, and we're bringing these guys in here, so either they take them or we get first crack at them.
Right on.
So now it makes the recruiting process a little bit easier. Because of networking, right? It's all relationship-based and that kind of stuff.
And then you think of the networking, and that's how you got Lucas here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, you said the fact that you love it here. Tell us a little bit how it's different here compared to your hometown.
Yeah, so I'm from Northern Ontario, so I played junior up on Sault Ste. Marie, and, you know, it's this community here is so special. It's just such a big community, and everyone supports you if you're out at Walmart or at Grace's, wherever you are, like everyone's coming up and supporting you and saying congrats on wins and picking up when you lose. Like we were in the Dells this weekend, and I think we had more fans down in the Dells than the Dells Ducks did. So,
seriously, cool.
Oh, I've heard we our fans travel. I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
So our community is awesome, and Coach does a great job getting us involved in the elementary schools and doing fundraisers and just community events and stuff. So, but everyone is so tight-knit here and so close.
I want to ask what made you want to play here, but what made you want to play hockey, man?
Yeah, honestly, it was my sister.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to play as much when I was little, and then I went to her games watching her play. It's like, oh, that's what I want to do, for sure.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to sibling rivalry.
Pretty much. I got to be better than her. So.
I know what that's like. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I beat on somebody else instead of my sister, right?
What made you want to come here with your career?
Yeah. I've always wanted to play university hockey, college hockey in the U.S., and Coach recruited me down and, you know, told me what about his program and how this community is and how it's different and special. And I'm like, well, we're a winning organization too. So all those things kind of draw me in. And I came down, I guess, around Thanksgiving last year. And since then, it's the only place I want to play. So
right on, man. Yes, again, glad to have you in town. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of winning, you guys are doing very well, aren't we?
Can't complain.
Yeah.
That record's pretty awesome.
Big weekend. Big weekend.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Coach. What are your takeaways from the weekend?
Well, you know, 5 out of 6 points, I mean, it's nothing to sneeze at, right? But honestly, I think Saturday was a good kick in the gut, we did not play the way that we were supposed to, and that's the end result. But the way that we responded yesterday, I thought was just, I mean, that's just the way we play. I mean, we're tough to beat when we play the right way. And you know, guys, and we talked about it in the locker room before the game, it's just about the compete level, right? And it's about, you know, what are we looking to get out of this year and where do we want to go? And everything that we talked about from day one about getting to nationals, about winning the division and doing those things, how are you going to do it? And if you're not willing to compete like we didn't on Saturday, Hudson's going to smack you in the mouth, right? And so you better be prepared, and we were prepared. I mean, you know, we shut out Hudson 2 weeks ago. We shut out, or right before the break, we shut out Squatch, right? I mean, these are teams that are ahead of us, and we have the third lowest goals against in the entire league, 62 teams. I mean, that's pretty good. So now the question is, I mean, you can't be winning 1-0 all the time, right? So we got to start putting the puck in the net a little bit more. I just signed a Russian today, so he's on his way here. So hopefully he gives us a little juice. And Matty Hill is coming back from an injury that I think is going to help us out. And, you know, now the locker room gets a little crowded.
Yeah.
Right?
So
now it's just about, again, compete. You got to earn your stripes. And he knows better than anybody the way we practice. If we play the way we practice, we're going to be tough to beat.
Had a kindergarten student come up to me today and told me every score that your game was this weekend. He just loves the team and he loves going there. And I was going to ask Lucas as well. We're talking a little bit about with basketball, you know, kind of get, you know, how the coaches have to get used to the lines that have to work together with basketball. And what is it like when you come and you've got all these different people who you don't play with? How long does that take to mesh?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably my favorite part of the game is meeting new players and meeting new guys and having friendships with guys from all over the world. Our group was super close right off the bat, and I think that's probably because we went through a pretty tough training camp that Coach put us through, and that I found on any team I've played for, you go through a struggle with a bunch of guys, you become closer right away. So honestly, it was like within the first week we were really, really tight, and then that just continues to grow throughout the year. But yeah, I mean, it's could be one day, it could be a week, it could be a month, depends who you are. Different guys are different approaches to how close you can get and relationship-wise.
And now bringing in this new player, how's that going to go? You know, does the team get together and kind of welcome this new body into the group?
For sure. I mean, we've had a couple new guys come in this year, and it's automatic. Like, we have such a nice group of guys, such a welcoming group where, you know, you're going to help us win. And if you show you want to be here and compete, the guys love to have you. and we'd love to support you, and you're part of our team right away. So.
No wonder it's awesome being here in Wisconsin Rapids,
yeah,
right?
It's great.
Great group of guys and a great coaching staff.
For sure.
What do you guys do during this week? We've got our next game lined up January 12th, next Friday. We are taking on Chicago Crush. They're coming here to town to the Southwick County Rec Center. So you got a good little stretch here to kind of prepare for that. Coming off of a nice win on Sunday, and a good win, interesting win too. How do you handle this week building up to this game?
Yeah, it's just back to business.
Back
to business. Work over the things that we need to, that we identify that we need to get a little bit better at. And I think, honestly, more of that is more mental than anything. And how we approach it and keep our energy level up and our compete, which we do in practice. I mean, tomorrow's battle day, and we're going to get after it again. And we practice hard, right? I mean, he's probably one of the toughest kids to play against. Mm-hmm. So. It's that mentality, and if you're not ready for that, you're going to get smacked in the mouth and by your own teammates, you know.
Right.
And so that, you know, the games are the easy part, you know, if you play it right. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we approach it, you know.
Speaking with GM and head coach for your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, and both of you guys, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you, Coach. As we're wrapping up, I did want to remind everybody we have a big fundraiser going on with our River Kings. We're looking to get some nicer facilities to make the building code. Get things right over there, in my opinion, just my words. If people want to donate, people want to find out more about what this is and what we're doing here, and I do say we, because it is this whole community that is behind you guys on this. I don't want you to feel like you're out here on your own on this one. This is I will speak for us here at this radio station, and I don't say that lightly. We have your back on this too. So when it comes to this, what do we want people to know about these facilities and this fundraiser we're running?
Well, this is about upgrading our facilities, right? We don't have the luxury of having our own separate bathrooms, which has now becomes an issue because of the figure skating group is growing, mm-hmm. the girls' hockey is growing, the youth program, and it's all used in that same bathroom that we happen to have to walk across, and it becomes very dangerous, right? Yeah. I mean, we're in a time in society where you got to be careful, right?
Yeah.
So, we need upgrades. We're looking to have our own bathroom, a team video room where we can actually all sit down and go through team, because it's very tough to put 28 guys in my little office, right?
So,
so we need that, and we need storage because we have all our stuff scattered out all over the rink, right?
Yeah.
It's open.
Yeah.
So it just needs to be, everything needs to be accessible for us, and just upgrade a little bit. Next year will be 10-year anniversary for us.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just time. It's time for a little upgrade. So.
We're so fortunate to have this hockey team in town. Not a lot of people have something like this. It's something where this is a good, in many ways, this is a good problem. This is a good thing. The Southwick County Rec Center was never built for this. And the fact that we have this is a blessing. And the fact that we have to make adjustments and to make this nice, that means that the Kings are staying here. That means we keep something like this. You want to keep nice things, you have to do certain things to adjust to them. That's just the way of the world. That's anything. That's business. That's commerce. That's anything. Do we do this and we can make sure that we keep this team around here? It's very important. Not only that, but if you want to talk about economics and all those other things, I will have a long discussion with you about that and how important that is and how vital this team is to that end of things, let alone what Randy just said earlier. A kindergartner told him the scores of games. You can't put a price on that. You can't. Kids like Lucas coming to town here, who knows where that leads to? There's a million different storylines and a million different layers to this. All of it comes back to, if you want to make a donation, if you want to help us with this fundraiser and help the River Kings build hockey up and down the river, and the true definition of that phrase, you can go to WR Kings, 2711 16th Street South. That's their address. You can stop by there and see how you can help out. Otherwise, email the coach, cm@riverkingshockey.com. They're correct there, Coach?
GM.
Did I say CM? I don't know who's CM. That's not going to help you at all. You send it to CM. Who knows who's getting those emails? I don't know who CM is. GM makes a lot more sense. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, joining us. Lucas, thank you also for being here. I appreciate you being
here. Thanks,
guys. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks, buddy. Talk
again when you get back in town, all right?
Yes, sir.
And we'll come back after this timeout and have some more fun on Playmakers here at WFHR. All right. Yeah, trying some bumpers here. Like, we got some new bumper music.
I feel like I should be saying, we're back.
Yeah, we're back, everybody.
2:21 to go.
Right, exactly. It's, it feels like it, doesn't it?
It does.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Playmakers on your radio dial, and the phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Randy and James here with you. We're here to talk sports, whatever's on your mind. We haven't even really talked about a couple of big things, like the championship game going on tonight and some of that.
Weren't those semis crazy?
Really great games. They got, I'm sorry, my best friend in the world is a Florida State fan. That he loves that team more than anything in any other sports team. I'm sorry, Chris, but they got the right four teams, I think. I really think they did.
And I think Florida State was so upset some of those kids just said, we're just not going to play.
Yeah.
You know, and some are going, you know, going to enter the transport portal. Some of them are going to go to the draft. So you can understand those players, but that's why Kirby Smart is right. You know, we got to do something about this. You could just see it all the way across the bowl games. Normally, I just love bowl season. I said to my wife, it's fine. You know, every day we get one to watch. There just weren't any close bowl games, except maybe the Badgers.
Yeah,
and the two semifinals, right?
Yeah, but you're so right about this. Other than that, to me, the greatness of bowl season was getting to see a great player like Marshall Faulk. Faulk plays for San Diego State.
Right.
And, you know, we don't ever get to see him play.
No.
But in the bowl season, we got to see him play because he's in San Diego State was good enough to make it to one of these late bowl games or early bowl games. And so we got to on ESPN2 or something like that.
Sure.
I saw Marshall Faulk running his tail off and everything. It was great. I love that about college football. It's maybe my second, third favorite thing about college football is those players that you don't always get to see and some of that. It's one of these situations where I don't think there's a villain. I don't think there's necessarily a bad guy. If one of these young men is your child, like, tell me you're not telling them, hey, I know you love your team. I know how much these guys mean to you, and you want to be out there for your friends and everything. This is a business. You got to start thinking about your future. You don't want to end up as Garrison Hurst. You don't want to end up as some of these guys, these kids that bust up their leg, their knee's gone, and they go from being a first-day pick to being an undrafted free agent.
Millions of dollars are on the line. You know, and you can actually see it on the everything except for the Final Four, but even those guys, you're like, you only got a 1 in 4 chance of winning this thing, and you're, again, risking millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that as many of them stick around.
Well, and let's not this is a newish problem, too,
mm-hmm.
but it's not that new. It's just new for players. Like, my whole life, I've been coaching the Northern Illinois football team this week because their head coach is gone, because they left. We make no big deal about that. We let these coaches just run, lie to these kids, you know, 1 hour and telling them, I'm going to be here forever. And the next hour, they're literally packing their bags and leaving. We make no big deal about that. But these kids doing these things, oh, my God, it's the end of college football. It's all over. Everything's done. Like, get out of here with that. These kids are not doing anything different than these head coaches are doing. They're just looking into, they're treating it as a business. That's what these that's what college football is, and that's what these universities have been doing. The universities treat it as a business.
And how are you going to fix that? You know, Kirby Smart says we got to fix it. I don't know.
Yeah.
If somebody comes up with a solution, more power to them.
I heard somebody say that the bowl season should begin at the beginning of the year, that you earn your bowl matchup by your previous season. Like, that sounds awfully confusing, but it also seems like, I mean, anybody got a better idea? We're getting to that point where it's kind of like, all right, just throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
But how do you win the national championship then?
Does it go to
some committee? You know,
we get back to the old problem that we had with, what was it, Colorado and Nebraska, who was it, tied for a national championship because there were
no playoffs back in the day.
Yeah. But maybe the playoffs fix all this. Maybe with a 12-game
maybe
changes all this, and it's a problem that we're not even talking about next year. We'll see. Because these kids are going to stick around if their team is in the playoffs. If they have a legitimate chance at a national championship, they're going to be playing. Jalen Marone was playing. I mean, they're all these kids that are going to be drafted coming up in April. Definitely, we're playing. You know, most of them were playing.
Well, it'll probably be interesting. Are maybe the teams like 7 through 12? You know, that do they really have a chance?
Yeah.
I'm risking millions of dollars. That'll be interesting. We'll find out.
I'm curious to see there. Adam Schefter has revealed that Mike Vrabel's job status in Tennessee, it looks like he is staying. So not to change you there, Randy, but just kept trying to keep up with some of the breaking news here with the head coaching carousel that is going to go on.
And the playoffs came out at halftime of the Sunday night game last night, so that's all set for this next weekend. And
yeah.
And, I was thinking a little bit about this. If they didn't have that confusion in the Dallas-Detroit game and they would have allowed the two-pointer and Dallas doesn't score in the last 20 seconds or whatever it is, the Packers would be playing Detroit at Detroit, who we just beat in Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
If the San Francisco kicker makes the field goal on the last play of the game, the Packers are playing Detroit. I think, just me personally, it could be way wrong, but me personally, I'd rather see us playing in Detroit than in Dallas, because Dallas doesn't usually lose in Dallas. And
That's going to be interesting.
That could be a tough win, you know. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about Joe Barry before. One change he's made is that he's blitzing now the last two games, right? I mean, he hadn't done that. They just kind of laid back, and now he's bringing – and they've got a tough front seven or eight that they can rotate in and out. And we saw it yesterday. How many times did they get Justin Fields? Four or five at least yesterday. Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out what's going on in the locker room with the players. You know, I heard some grumbling, because they were just being too soft.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they're being more aggressive and they simplified things, has this made a difference? And is it enough to change it to save his job? I think if, like the caller said, if they get beat badly, because think about it. Yesterday, Tampa Bay played Carolina. The final score was 9-0. When we played Tampa Bay and we played Carolina, I think we gave up 34 and 30 points respectively to two teams that couldn't even score against each other
because
of the way I think the defense was playing. But now they hold the Bears to 9 points in the week before. You know, it'll be interesting. Yeah. I think this would be a big, big part of the decision-making process.
It'll make the decision easier for them either way. It's kind of where I think a lot of fans, of a lot of NFL teams are, where like I am with my fan base, like the we care, we're still invested, but we're numb. We're numb to all this. We lost to Green Bay. Yeah, how is that any? There are generations of kids that's all they've ever known. How is this any different? Oh, we had a quarterback who was hyped up who isn't what we thought he was going to be. Okay, how is that any different? It's no matter what changes they make, the powers that be are not changing. It's still McCaskey signing the check. As long as that takes place, as a fan, how hyped up, how sad or happy can I get? Again, going back to the worst thing I think that you can have in sports, whether you are a fan or you are an owner of these teams or a coach of these teams, mediocrity. The last thing I want from my fan, I would rather have my fan base screaming their heads off and wanting everybody in the franchise, wanting to scorch earth. You want that more than you want,
We did pretty good. We were 500.
That's not what you want. That doesn't fill seats. That doesn't get people going out there buying jerseys. That doesn't help your franchise, and it doesn't help your franchise win either. So to me, that's why where you get today, where a lot of fan bases are saying, "Yeah, we did okay there towards the end of the season. Blah blah blah. Scorched earth. Let's start over." Because it's at least more hopeful and more you can at least kick the can and all this and be a little more hopeful about the future than you can if we were fair this year.
Well, it's funny because we've talked about this before on this show. How many great quarterbacks are there in the NFL? 10?
Maybe 10?
Yeah. Are they going to do something about that? Because there were so many injuries this year. Mm-hmm. Now I get it. Aaron Rodgers got hurt without being touched. Kirk Cousins got hurt without being touched. But there's so many teams playing their third string quarterback.
Yeah.
And who wants, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but who wants to go to a game if you're watching the third-string quarterback and the ticket price is over $200?
Yeah.
And you want to purchase four of those for your family?
They've got about as big as a problem with that as college football does with these kids, some of them not playing and some of them transferring. You had a kid that transferred and showed up for the other team by the time the bowl game happened. That's crazy. It's insane how that's happening. I'm curious. We don't have a lot of time here, but we can talk about this next week, too. National championship. I'm not as interested in who you got in this, everybody, but I am curious. Do you like not being able to watch it if you don't have ESPN? Like, to me, that is the weirdest, one of the weirdest things. And it's not smart by ESPN either. And it's owned by Disney, where they could put it on ABC if they wanted to. Instead, they have a Brooke Shields special tonight. And I love Brooke Shields. More power to her. But it's not exactly the national championship game.
Well, then I think one of the playoff games next week's on Peacock.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's very... I understand that why they're doing this and everything, but I don't think it's as smart as they think it is. And I don't think it's going to go well. No. I don't think it's going to end very well. No matter how many people have ESPN, not everybody's got ESPN like they got ABC. Right. More people have that than the other. It's just math. I don't know how that's going to work out for them. And I don't know many people, no matter even if you're a Washington and Michigan fan, that you're going to go ahead and get ESPN Plus just to watch this. You know, it's the same thing streaming services are having a problem with. Oh, they're going to buy Netflix because of Stranger Things. No, they're not.
Right.
No, they're not. They're proving that. The numbers are proving that. They're not going to do that. You need more than that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention this as well for those that didn't hear. The Minnesota Vikings are changing artificial turfs next year.
Oh.
That's interesting, I thought.
I think there's a lot of other teams that could do that to prevent injury. There's got to be. I mean, with the technology, with the advancements we have and everything, it's amazing that it's not better at this point already.
Every team should have it. If you are an NFL owner and you don't, I wouldn't want to play for you. I don't care where you play your games. The U.S. Bank Stadium, the home of Minnesota Vikings, will become the latest NFL facility to replace its playing surface with a version of artificial turf that rates better in injury data.
Now if they just replace that defense. Hey, did that... Are we still on the air?
I felt like I was setting you up for something. I just didn't know what. That was great. That was good. I really hope the Jets and literally every single team in the NFL that doesn't have, obviously, already good turf that do something like this. Taking a quick look at just our schedule, real quick, thank you to the Wisconsin Rapids Area Visitors Bureau for putting our River Kings on the cover.
That was awesome.
Yep. Thanks to Coach Peckman coming in today. We, of course, appreciate that.
And Lucas Whitehead, great kid.
Big thank you to Lucas for being here as well. Tomorrow at 6:05, you'll have the Greg Gard Show right here. That's the new time slot for that, everybody. It'll be on Tuesdays, 6:05, Greg Gard Show. Wednesday, Wisconsin men's basketball at Ohio State at 6:30. And Randy, this feels so good. Thursday, 6 o'clock, right here at WFHR, Milwaukee Bucks host Boston.
Ooh, sweet.
We got Bucks basketball on the radio. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then you can switch it over and listen to Pittsville and Port Edwards our sister station after that.
That pregame will kick off at 6:50 for that game right there. We're looking forward to it. And thank you again for being in today, Randy. Great to see you. River Kings Hockey Friday. River Kings Hockey this Friday at 6:59 on the 12th. So that's next Friday.
Friday and Saturday.
Coming up here at the end of the week.
Yep.
Coming up at the end of the week. Thanks for a great show. Thank you for all the calls, everybody. And a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll talk to you next Monday for more Playmakers on WFHR, locally grown radio.